We're looking again today at Moses' prayer of intercession during the time when the children of Israel rebelled against the Lord in building the golden calf. And we see, as we have a review here in Deuteronomy, basically chapter 8 was to remember the Lord your God, and chapter 9 in reviewing their rebelliousness. And I don't know about you, but about me, when I'm in really a time of crisis, it's really easy to see my wretchedness and cry out to the Lord, recognizing He is so awesome. But you know, when the Lord really uses you, it's so easy to go the other direction and have a sense of pride and a sense of, I'm a lot more holy than I used to be, and I can see how the Lord can use me now a lot more than He used to use me. And you get over into that side of, it's about you and it's not about Him. That ever happened to any of us? I'm sure it does. Well, here God is telling them, I'm going to do something really great. He's reminding them, I'm going to take you into the land, a land with walls as high as heavens, a land where it's filled with giants, the Anak, the Anakim. But I'm going to deliver them to you quickly. But be reminded, it's not because of your righteousness. It's not because of anything you have done or because you're so good. It's because of their wickedness and because I have promised my covenant with your fathers to bring them into the land. So don't get the idea this is about you. It's all about my grace, basically, is what God is telling them. Verse 4, do not think in your heart. And that's interesting, isn't it? Where does it begin? It begins with a thought. It begins with a thought in our heart, and we let that go into something as it grows. Do not think in your heart after the Lord your God has cast these giants out, saying it's because of my righteousness. Oh, it's because we're such wonderful people. The Lord has brought us in to possess this land. Don't think that. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out from before you. It is not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart. We need to remember that, don't we? When the Lord uses us, or is going to use us, or is preparing us, or whatever, it's not because of our righteousness or the uprightness of our heart, but it's because of what He is doing and what He is going to do. So he says, therefore, understand the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness. Why? Because you're a stiff-necked, rebellious people. And he reminds them. He reminds them at Mount Sinai how they failed so miserably in this golden calf situation. And Moses will later, what we're going to be seeing him praying about that. And then in verse 22, also at Taberah and Massah and Kibroth Hattaavah, you provoked the Lord to wrath. And so these are all places that we see primarily in Numbers, also in Exodus in some cases. And, you know, the Massah, that's where they tempted the God, and they said, we need water. You can't deliver us water. Give us back to Egypt. They were tempting God. They were doubting God. But he had Moses strike the rock, and they all had water. At Kibroth Hattaavah, that's where they wanted meat. Oh, we're tired of this manna. Oh, we want to go back to Egypt, England. We're going to go back to Egypt because of the leeks and the garlics, and we have nothing but this horrible manna you've given us. And so he said, okay, you want meat? I'll give you meat for a month, and it'll come out your nostrils. And so he's reminding them of their stiff-necked, of their rebellion. It's not because they're great that he's going to deliver them. And so he says in verse 24, you have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. Now, we look at this, it's easy to say, well, those Israelites, boy, what a stupid bunch of people they were. They saw all these miracles, and yet they were rebellious. Well, how about you? How about me? We have even better miracles given to us than they ever saw. We have the miracle of the Word of God, which they never saw. Basically, they may have seen a little bit of some of the writings of the Old Testament, but there was no Bibles around in those 40 years of wilderness march, and they didn't have the Holy Spirit abiding in them and dwelling in them. They didn't see the transforming work of the Spirit like we have all around us, and yet how we rebel, don't we? I mean, we can be so close to the Lord in 1 minute, and the next minute somebody just looks at us or says something of insignificance, and all of a sudden we go into this, how could you have done that? How could you be? How could you? It's always, how could you? Isn't it? It's never, how could I? It's never, how could I? But here we'll see Moses now interceding for them in this prayer, what we're going to look at a little bit more carefully today in verse 26. And we get into this in verse 25 after saying, you've been rebellious. Moses says, thus I prostrated myself before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, fasting and now praying. We know for sure there were two 40-day and 40-night periods, and this appears to be a third one, although there's some question whether this is just a repeat of the second fast or whether it is indeed another fast. But whether or not it's two or three, Moses fasted and then he prayed. Reminds us of our Lord Jesus Christ, does it not? A type of Christ. So he prostrated himself before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. I kept prostrating myself because the Lord had said he would destroy you. He is so fearful, God is going to destroy them for their terrible sin of that transgression with the golden calf, that he keeps prostrating himself 40 days and 40 nights. And here's just a short summary of the prayer. This obviously isn't 40 days of prayer that we're reading here. It's a summary. You'll notice how centered on God this prayer is. How many I's and me's are in this prayer? I think there's only one. Therefore, I prayed to the Lord. Every aspect of the word of prayer in here, I think 12 times, he's praying to you or yours. It's you or yours. It's always to the Lord. How is your prayer? You might count the pronouns sometime. Just record your prayer once in a while or have somebody do it for you. And see how many I's and me's there are in and how many you and yours are in there. But here is a prayer centered on the Lord 12 times, you and yours. Therefore, I prayed to the Lord. I said, O Lord God, do not destroy your people and your inheritance, whom you have redeemed through your greatness, whom you have brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand. That is a God-centered prayer, isn't it? So he's first coming to God, standing on the promises of God, and basically bringing before God what God has done and what God has promised. Your inheritance that you have promised to your people, the inheritance to your people whom you have redeemed through your greatness, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt. Yeah, they have been delivered. They've been delivered from slavery, 3 million or 2 million, whatever it is. And so the very first thing there, he reminds them of God's past faithfulness. He reminds the Lord. And then secondly, remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he's remembering the God's past faithfulness and the promise to Israel and to the servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who basically stand for Israel, they're the fathers of Israel. And he says, do not look on the stubbornness of the people or on their wickedness or sin. Oh, how I wish I could pray for that, not to look on people's stubbornness or their wickedness or their sin, but look to them and pray for them. And then the verse 28, because of his glory among the nations, he says, you know, if you destroy them, then the land from which you brought us should say, because the Lord was not able to bring them to the land which he promised them, because he hated them, because he's brought them out to kill them in the wilderness. What a wrong impression that would be of God. So Moses is saying, for your glory, don't do this. And then finally in verse 29, he reminds the Lord once again that we are his people. Yet they are your people and your inheritance, whom you brought out by your mighty power and by your outstretched arm. So we see here Israel as a type of us. We see here Moses basically as a type of Christ who is fasting and interceding. You know, we read in Hebrews 7:25, for example, therefore he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to the Father through him, since what? Since he always lives to make intercession for us. So here we are going through life rebellious, sinning, failing every day really in our flesh, and yet our Lord Jesus is interceding for us. And so we want to be interceding. We want to be intercessors. We want to pray just this morning for things that the Lord would put on our heart. And as we are even enabled to pray by his Spirit, we want to be sure we don't cross that line and to think it's because we have such uprightness of hearts or because we are so self-righteous. Oh no, God forbid. We deserve nothing but his wrath. We need to be reminding ourselves of our sin, not wallowing in it, but just in a confessing, repentant way and praising him for his forgiveness. And then we just want to honor him in this prayer this morning. Here we are, his people, called to pray. And so may we pray now in the mighty name of Jesus as we are led by the Spirit, one praying at a time, but all in agreement with that one because we're led by the same Spirit. So let us pray.